38. We're skipping to page 38 in these Agadas that we're using. And we're skipping forward a little bit to the 10 plagues. And the custom is that when we say each of the plagues, we stick in a finger, or if you're squeamish, you could pour a drop out of the cup for each of the plagues. Now, you need a plate for that, otherwise it can go all over the table. So we have a plate under our cup, and we recount. The following are the 10 plagues Hashem brought on the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. Dam tzifaldeya kinim arov dever shechin barad arbe choshech makat bechorot. Rabbi Yehuda yanded mem tzimanim tetzach adash ve'achav. Rabbi Yehuda would make signs tetzach adash ve'achav. Okay, so those are the 10 plagues. And then Rabbi Yossi of Galilee says that those were the 10 plagues in Egypt. But you know what happened when the Egyptians were chasing us to the sea? Those miserable, wretched people wanted to kill us, and they wouldn't see the light. They wouldn't see the truth. They're standing there at the sea, and they're suffering worse than they did in Mitzrayim. For every plague they suffered in Mitzrayim, they suffered 5 times as much at the sea, says Rabbi Yossi of Galilee. You know what that means? They're standing behind us, and if they were covered with one kind of boil before they came in Mitzrayim, now they're covered with 5 types of boils. If they had one type of plague of darkness, they had 5 times worse that as they were chasing us, but that didn't stop them. And one of the great messages that we see in the Exodus from Egypt is that Hashem takes every person to task over what they do. Hashem purposely made it that when Moshe came to Mitzrayim, things would get worse. What happens when Moshe comes to Mitzrayim? The Midrash says, so Moshe comes and tells Paro, God sent me, let the Jews go. And Paro says, obviously they have too much time on their hands. They have to go collect their own straw. So where are they going to collect the straw from? They're going to go to Egyptian fields to collect the straw, the hay, right? So the Midrash says the Jew would come crawling, trying to take some hay to make the mortar the way Paro commanded. The Egyptian would look out his window and see a Jew out there in his field and say, you filthy Jew, you think you're going to take my straw? He'd come out with his clubs and start beating him. So you had a situation where the individual Egyptians were also playing a role in the hurting of the Jews. And Hashem said, I want to show, before I redeem the Jewish people, I want to show that the individual citizens were also interested in afflicting my children, because when I punish everyone, the Egyptian citizens are going to be able to claim, I didn't do anything, no, Pharaoh was the king, I was just following orders, I didn't hate him. So Hashem said, no, let me see to it that every Jew crawls into individual Egyptians' fields, and let's see how they react. They know what's going on. So now the Egyptians had a chance to prove themselves. Where did they individually stand? And they proved it. And they proved it again when we were running out of Mitzrayim, and we were running and we were standing by the Yamsuf, and suddenly they're getting hit by plague after plague after plague. They keep running. Rabbi Lezer says, when we left Mitzrayim, each of the 10 plagues was composed of 4. And so we derived from the verse that they had 5 times as much when they were at the sea, so they had 200. And Rabbi Kiva says each of the plagues was composed of 5 sections, and 5 times 50 equals 250. So everyone agrees that they suffered 5 times as much as in Egypt when they were chasing us out there by the sea. The question is, how much was it in Egypt? 10, 40, 50. Meaning, everyone agrees there were 10 plagues. The question is, are they considered to have 4 components, or 5 components, or 1 component? And now we're going to skip forward to what Rabbi Gamliel says, which is the pivotal part of the Agadah. Rabban Gamliel Yaomer, on page 46, Rabban Gamliel used to say, whoever did not say the following 3 things on Pesach did not fulfill his obligations. Ve'iluhen, Pesach Matzah Mo'ol. These are the 3 things, and we have to explain. And from this point onward, everyone, men, women, everyone must read along and understand and say, because this is the pivotal part of the Haggadah. Our custom is that we read the whole Haggadah. We read, word by word, we read the whole Haggadah. But some people let the leader read the whole Haggadah until this point. that from this point onward, just as you made your own blessings, you made your own bar pragafen, you made your own kiddush, you drank the wine, you're going to make your own hamotzi, you're going to make your own motzi matzah, blessing on the matzah. By the same token, we say from this point onward, everyone has to say yes.
I'm just looking at these instructions here, and it says to point at the shank bone. And I remember that you don't point at the shank bone because it's like...
Right, it says you should look at it, not we don't touch it, we don't lift it. Pesach Shayyav, good thing you don't have this Haggadah, you're right. Pesach Shayyav, the Paschal offering that they used to eat. We don't have a Paschal offering, so we have nothing to point to. That's what he's pointing out. We look at the shank bone, the roasted shank bone, which represents what used to be the Paschal offering. So that, well, why did our forefathers eat the Paschal offering, the Pesach? Why is that carbon, the Pesach? The word Pesach is indicative of Shum Shepasach Kadosh Baruch Hu Alav Atem Bimitzrayim, that God passed over their homes. God was coming into Egypt to kill all the firstborns. All the firstborns were part of the idols of Egypt. They used to worship the firstborns in Egypt, and the Jewish firstborns were also Egyptian idols. People would worship them. And Hashem says, even so, I will kill the Egyptian firstborn and not your firstborn, even though they deserve to die just as much. The angel said, kill them too. What do you mean? They're just as bad. God says, no, they're my children. Hashem personally does it. Shneimar, as the verse says, you will say, this is a sacrifice of Pesach, of passing over to Hashem. As God passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, as He smote the Egyptians, He saved our homes. When the nation heard Moshe telling them that there was a future, that God would pass over their houses, they bowed down. Ma'atzazu she'anu chelim al shuma. We lift the matzah and we say, this matzah that we're eating, what does this represent? Why do we do that? Because the Jews, well, it's the morning, so they make fresh bread for the morning. They start making their dough, they start making the bread, and the bread doesn't have time to rise before God says, get out, time to go. I was in the middle of making bread. No, everyone go. See, in the morning, people used to get up and prepare the bread for the morning. So they were up all night, and now it comes morning time. It's the crack of dawn. Everyone starts preparing the dough, and they're getting ready to heat up their ovens. And God says, leave. But I was in the middle. Yeah, leave. Now it's time to go. So they all walk out with their dough. As the verse says, they baked it matzah because it didn't have time to ferment. Because they were chased out of Egypt and they couldn't delay and they hadn't any other provisions for the road. So, okay, they made matzah. Marose shiano chelim al shuma. Why do we eat this bitter herb? Al shum shmeru amitzrim tchayavaten b'mitzrayim shemar b'emarut chayim avdak shabachom b'mimchol avdak b'sadet yol avotam shavdu b'hem b'farech. This is corresponding to the embitterment of our lives. The Egyptians embittered our lives in Egypt, as the verse says. Bechol dovado chayav adam nirot et atzmo kilo yatza mimitzrayim. In every generation, it's a person's responsibility to envision himself as though he personally left Egypt. That's our job. Each of us has to imagine as though we were there and we left, and we have to show it to our children that way too. The verse says, you tell your son, because of this, you show him all this, what I just explained to you, Hashem did to me, as He took me out of Egypt. God didn't only redeem our forefathers, but God redeemed us with Him as well. As the verse says, God took us out of there. To bring us, to give us the land that He promised our forefathers. Now we're going to honor the wine. We're going to sing the first part of the Hallel. So we cover the matzahs as we're about to hold the wine, as we sing the first part of the Hallel, which will be the conclusion of Magid, which will lead us into the fantastic meal we have waiting. Yum. לפיכך אנחנו חייבים להודות, להלל, לשבח, לבאר, לאומם, להדור, לברך, להלל, כלס, למי שסבתם ולנו את קונצים אלו. Therefore, as we explained, we ourselves were in danger. And so we ourselves, we consider it as though we were redeemed. And therefore, it is our responsibility to praise, pay tribute, glorify, exalt, honor, bless, extol, and acclaim. To the one who did these great miracles to our forefathers and ourselves. What are those miracles? He took us out of servitude to freedom, anguish to happiness, mourning to holiday, darkness to great light, servitude to redemption. And we will sing before him a brand new song, Hallelujah, blessed is Hashem. And now we begin the Hallel. Hallelujah, you guys know the Hallel, you know the songs. Betet Yisrael Mimitzayim, Beit Yaakov Me'anoiz, Hayta Yehuda Lekacho Yisrael Mamshilotav, Hayam Rav, Hayanos, Hayarden Yisov Le'acho, He'arim Raktuchi Eilim, Yevaot Kivnei Tzon. מלך הים כי תנוס הירדן תיסב ליחור הערים תרקדו חילים גבעות כבני צון מלפני אדון חולי ארץ מלפני אלוהי יעקב ההופך יצור אגם מים חלם משני מיינו מים. This Hallel that we sing every Rosh Chodesh, we sing on many holidays, was really composed by the Jewish people as they left Mitzrayim, as you see, is indicative by the verses. And we conclude the Maggid with a blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, who redeemed us and our forefathers and brought us to this great night to eat matzah and maror. So Hashem bring us to other festivals and joyous occasions. We should be in peace, happy with the rebuilding of your city, rejoicing with your service. We will eat there from the offerings as we bring the offerings on your altar. And over there we'll sing you a new song over our redemption. Blessed are you, Hashem, who redeems Israel. And then we make the blessing of Baruch Priya Gafin on the second cup of wine. We go and wash our hands and we eat the matzah. And we will conclude. I will leave you to read in the back the basics, the halachos of how we make the amotzi and the matzah and the matzahs that we eat. You guys can keep the back to basics. Please give me back the agados. I guess with this we're going to have to bring our model seder to conclusion. Do you want to go? Let's review maybe the back to basics on what we do at the meal. And you guys are all invited to eat, but we're out of time basically. Yes. What we're showing when we remove from the wine is we're showing that although the Egyptians deserved the punishment they received, we aren't rejoicing their downfall. We're even removing some of the wine from our cup to show that our happiness is not complete when our great redemption came at the expense of others. Meaning we recognize that God has his reasons and he did it that way, but we're not rejoicing that part of it. We're rejoicing the fact that we became free, not that they had to suffer in order for it to happen.
We can drink it.
You can drink, but you probably have to make a new bracha. It's been like 2-3 hours.
And that's the whole point why we were drinking.
We were drinking.
So I don't know if this helps the extension of that. I don't know.
We ate eggs too.
Oh, you drank grape juice too? Fine.
No, we ate eggs too.
Right, but I don't know if that helps.